Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
I'm caught in the quandary of whether to begin with thanks or how I prepared my sermon. I'll begin with a personal word that the Kellys, Ann Windus and married Don Kelly. Don's a retired physician. Ann is retired international missionary. The connection to the story is when Vicky went to Busan, Korea, where Ann was serving, is when she came back with those two ducks that I've talked about. These are the ducks that in the Korean custom, if you place them in the bedroom of the husband and wife and if they're facing each other, it means all is well in the marriage. And if they're looking, one's looking away and the other one's looking at it, it means somebody in the marriage is missing the point. And if they're both looking the other direction, that means nobody's talking and you're in a lot of trouble. Well, our youngest is the one Holland family, not here, Stephen, when he was a little boy, slipped into our bedroom, and one night, without my knowing it, he turned the ducks to look away from each other. These are wood carving ducks to look away from each other. I woke up in the morning and saw the ducks and realized, I thought we were doing okay, but now I don't know. The sense of our being on a journey together where we have been in a face-to-face relationship with one to another, men and women, boy and girl, as followers of Christ Jesus, seekers becoming believers and believers growing as disciples. The story of Samson and Delilah is the story of wise love versus foolish love. Maya Angelou, the American poet laureate, said that a woman's heart must be so in love with God that a man must find him in order to find her. Samuel said of a man that God is searching for a man whose heart is so in love with God, searching for the heart of God, that he may be called out from God. Samson and Delilah were neither of those. They could have been, but their journey in life took them along a hard road of foolish love. And it's a story for us about warning and also of hope. It's a story about our own lives, of understanding that wise love is a disciplined love that is a gift with great creative power. Foolish love is fatal. Wise love is shaped by and sustained by passion and friendship and commitment. The sense of the passion that there is a joy that stirs inside our life by which we are happy and glad. When I was a little boy at First Baptist Church, Bernie, and as Jacobs led us into the "This Is My Story, This Is My Song" today, I remembered as a little boy when my feet couldn't even touch the floor, maybe like Jackson over here, and the feet couldn't touch the floor while sitting in the pew. But when I knew we sang that, I had a story like everybody else. That's powerful. That we have a story, and that story is a passionate gift of God into our life. And we have a song to sing as a passion, and a love relationship has a passion that can thrive through the course of the relationship. Though it may change through the years, it can grow wiser along the way, sustained by a friendship where we really wake up in the morning and we think, I really want God's best for you today. As friends to each other, we may say to each other, I hope God's best for you today. How can I help you win in life today? That's the friendship love that seasons passion beyond selfishness. And the commitment side of the love is that we are in this for the journey. Like a decade, a course of time that we have been in this on a journey. And that commitment has just been forming and fashioning in my life for these 10 years. As some of you know, in years 3, 4, and 5 of our being together, I did not sleep well. Some nights I did not sleep at all. I knew that I was having to be reshaped by God to be your pastor and the pastor of a church in the 21st century, for Trinity to be who we needed to be and could be as we go forward, meaning some things would have to be different and in some ways I would need to become different. And it was a painful time, a good time, filled with all kinds of amen, rejoice, but a painful time of long nights of anxious sleeping. And I'm basically not an anxious person. It meant I was being stretched way beyond my comfort zone into a new comfort zone that God was establishing for me and establishing for us, that we might be in his comfort zone in the new age in which we are all living. Commitment. not to flee and look for the exit door, but a commitment to be together and to see what it is that God will do, because passion and friendship and commitment are there to honor his love for us and our love for him. Now, foolish love, characterized by Delilah and Samson, collapses under the weight of its own selfishness. And Samson and Delilah were foolish lovers. Collapsing under the weight of own selfishness, because selfishness is not sustainable, and love that is shaped by what's in it for me and I don't care what's in it for you will collapse, and great and tragic will be the fall of it. Now, in a Greek tragedy like Achilles' heel, you knew that Achilles was this vibrant Greek warrior. But when Homer said he had a weakness in his Achilles, you knew that somewhere along the battle, that weakness was going to catch up on with him. Samson and Delilah did not have a built-in weakness. It didn't have to be a tragic story. But it could have been a transforming story of their rising above the circumstances in which they were living if they would have followed through with wise love in their life. Well, how could they have done it, and how can we do it today? This one is by love. Love God first, so you best know how to love everyone else. When the great commandment is given, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one," it begins by hearing first, love the Lord. First, love the Lord. Your God with how you think, the brain mapping of your mind, how you feel, the heart values that shape your priorities, and your body and what you do with your hands and your feet and your actions, and the sense of your spirit of who you worship is who you become. And so it is the power about really loving God first, not exclusive to all our other loves, but when we love God first, then we move that love of God into every relationship we have. That when you wake up in the morning, my prayer for you as a pastor is that first you will say, "Lord, I love you and I need you." They go together. "I love you and I need you" is the recognition that it is our love of God that can shape our day. Our need is knowing that we can't do it in our own power, which is what Samson thought. God's love leads us away from all the false love. And our world is filled with all kinds of false love. Samson and Delilah's getting caught in the plight was understandable. But Samson's parents knew that their son would have a unique journey in life, and they were to do their part. They wanted to do their part. I mean, Samson's mother was like Rebecca, the mother of Isaac, like Hannah, the mother of Samuel, like Elizabeth, who would be the mother of John the Baptist. She went through many stillbirths and miscarriages, and she could not give birth to a child. And then the Lord came to her and said that you will give birth to a child. And when she became pregnant, then Manoah the father did this. He called out in the Judges 13. He prayed, said, "Now may the angel of God who told us that we would be able to have a child teach us how to bring up that boy who is to be born." And later came back again to say, "Now what is to be the rule that governs the boy's life and work?" All parents know this prayer. How am I supposed to do this? The sense of Manoah wisely asking up front, how can we be the best parents for our son? And the best they gave was the best that can be given. They loved their son. They blessed their son. They nourished their son. And they told their son, Samson, his story. That he was to be a judge. He was to be a redeemer. He was to be called out to help the people of Israel. He had his mission in life, and that God would see him through. My prayer is that early in your life, someone came to you, just like Regina and Arthur have come to their two sons, Jackson and Gavin, and to their daughter, Ava, and have said to them, "There's a reason why you were born in the world, and we bless you, and we're your parents, and our goal in life is to honor God by how we may guide you." Now, every family's got the stuff. We're human beings and all kinds of mischief and mixture of life events are part of our daily life. But God has this first way of seeing us through as we will first love him. That's basically what the angel told Manoah and his wife. And so they said to Samson, you're a Nazarite in that there is a vow that you are never, ever to cut your hair. Your hair is a sign of your depending upon the strength of God. Now, when I was a boy growing up in First Baptist Burney, I didn't hear many sermons about blessing long hair. That was in the day and age in which if you grow in long hair, that was a sign of your rebellion against the status quo. And now it's all kind of wear your hair however you want to and don't have hair, shave it all off. It's a sense, though, the sign of this long hair was a sign of the strength of God. El Shaddai, God Almighty, will be with you. But don't cut your hair. Because this is a vow by which you have come into the world. Samson got that. He heard that. But along the way, he thought his uniqueness, he thought this blessing of his life was all about him and not about God from whom the blessing came, because he stopped loving God first. Two is to be aware. To be aware by acting on the warning signs of false love. Beware of sexually and anger-based love. How many of you have a dog, either in your apartment, your house, or in your yard? You have it. There we go. Donna, raising your hand. We got that. And you may have a sign that says, beware of dog. We had a German police dog in the backyard of our home in Burney, and then long after King passed off the scene, we still kept the sign on the fence, beware of dog. He had established his reputation. We kept the sign. Well, here's the word, beware of anger love. Beware of sexually motivated love. Beware of materialistic love. Beware of false love, because destruction is headed your way. The false signs of love are indicators to pay attention before you fall off the cliff. And the power of the love that God can come building, the passion, the friendship, the commitment into our life, is what Samson could have been learning along the way. He was married, and there was a tragedy in the death of his first wife. And then he was filled with all kind of sexual love and prostitutes, and we have in the headlines today, and they were back in the headlines then. There's a sense of the power by which he knew that his strength could get him out of any physical jam that he would come across, and he had a wit about him that he could toss out riddles. So it says in Judges 16 that he fell in love with a woman, and her name was Delilah. And so when Delilah was known to the people of her community, the rulers of all the Philistines, the sworn enemy of the people of Israel, of whom Samson came, and Samson felt a special kinship coming to the Philistines and trying to work things through with them, either by fighting as a one-man army or by working out negotiations to bring a sense of peace. But the Philistine rulers went to Delilah and would put pressure on her. They said, we'll give you 1,100 shekels each if you will lure the secret out of Samson's strength. And also in that surely was physical intimidation. I mean, they'd already burned to death Samson's first wife and his father-in-law. These were days of awful, awful sexual abuse and harassment. These were days in which the women did not have the same right as men. These are the days in which Samson could have stood by Delilah and had helped to raise her up into the glory of God's great promise. And they went to Delilah, and Delilah was caught in the snare, which would lead to tragedy, her own and to Samson and the people's. The sense of the tragedy that will take us down when love goes wrong, when we aren't good stewards of the love that God gives. I mean, Samson's hair was connected to his heart mission in life, like the wedding ring is connected to the vows that were shared on wedding day, like the baptismal waters are the outward sign of the inward decision of a person expressing faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, it really wasn't as much about the hair as it was about the heart being obedient to the God who had given him the blessing of the strength. And along the way, day by day, year by year, disappointment by disappointment, Samson began to separate himself from the God of his strength. And so he did what Delilah had asked for him. Time and again, she says, tell me the source of your strength, that she would call out the Philistines to come and capture him. And foolish Samson didn't pay attention. Four times she warned him by saying, what is the source of your strength? He would tell her a riddle. She would tell the Philistines, come and capture him, only discover he still had his strength. Samson was arrogant in self-love. And then finally, because she used that old means of just not letting go and stayed after him until finally he said, okay. All right, I'll tell you, enough, here it is. Was he hoping that she wouldn't betray him? Or did he decide it really didn't matter, that he would still have his strength regardless of what Delilah would do? He didn't protect her or himself or his mission of life. And so they cut off his hair. Know that tomorrow always arrives. And with it, yesterday's love decisions will show themselves as either wise or foolish. You know that. We've all lived long enough to know that tomorrow comes, and what we do today does have consequences in what tomorrow will look like. Samson had to rediscover this painfully, tragically. He had to rediscover this. Wisdom knows that tomorrow comes, and therefore love decisions made today best position us for what tomorrow will bring. Foolish decisions made today foolishly weaken us for what tomorrow will shine upon. Not making decisions in the passion, friendship, and commitment means we're only left with the selfishness of tomorrow. Jesus Christ came that we would know the true strength, the strength of his truly being the one born of God, born into our world as Savior into the world for you and me. So when Samson awoke after his hair was cut, he said, I'll just go out like before and I'll shake myself free and I will fight everybody off, only to discover he didn't have the strength. He felt the Lord had left him. But it wasn't that God had left him. It's that he had left God's love behind. And without God's love, he had no strength to be able to offer in the unique circumstances that came with his life. And so the Philistines came, they captured him, they gouged out his eyes. And then they blinded him as if there was something still to blind. And in the midst of this, they took him captive. They made him a slave. And in his slavery, he began to do the work of a laborer for the false god of the Philistines. But the scriptures sneak in a verse. They sneak in the verse of the storytelling that his hair began to grow again, as a sign that God's love never abandons us, that if we will allow ourselves, that we again can experience the fullness of God in our life, because that's what God's love does. It will always be there to be renewed and to strengthen us. Are you allowing God to renew your life? Oh, I see different lengths of hair out here and different colors of hair out here. But I'm not looking at your physical hair. I'm looking about your position of faith and trust. In your circumstances of life, do you feel the strength of God being the source of your strength? First, love him, and he will give you the strength of his love. Beware of false love in order to be aware of real love. And trust tomorrow by being loving today. And find yourself then strengthened in a love that will not go away. Our choice, wise love, foolish love, you decide. Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful for your gift that gives us the gift of life. We're grateful for your love that holds us close. We're grateful for your love that extends the call and says, trust me, trust me, trust me. Thank you that your love is always faithful, and in that we find our way to be faithful in love by Christ. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.